March Meatness is here, and Good Ranchers has your chance to win free meat. Sign up and fill out your March Meatness bracket at goodranchers.com/March. And if your bracket is best, you win free 100% American Steakhouse quality meat for a year. Subscribe any day this month for free bacon added to your order and select your meat. Get free bacon, and if your bracket wins, it will all be free for the next year. And if you don't win, well, I mean, you still get free bacon with every order, and it's shipped free straight to your door. So that sounds like a win-win. Order today and use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. A chance to win free meat, free bacon, and $20 off. It's madness. Head to goodranchers.com/March to sign up and fill out your bracket. Subscribe to claim free bacon and use code Dana for $20 off the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com/March and use code Dana. That's goodranchers.com/March. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Approach you about writing the Twitter files.
Again, Congresswoman, that would be,
I just need a date, sir.
But I can't give it to you, unfortunately, because this is a question of sourcing, and I don't give up. I'm
it's
a journalist. I don't reveal my sources.
It's a question of chronology.
No, that's a question
because
of sourcing.
Because you earlier said that someone had sent you through the internet some message about whether or not you would be interested in some information.
Yes, and I refer to that person as a source.
So you're not going to tell us when Musk first approached you?
Again, Congressman, when you're asking me to, you're asking a journalist to reveal a source.
So then you consider Mr. Musk to be the direct source of all this?
No, now you're trying to get me to say that he is the source. I
well,
I just can't answer your question.
Well, either is or he isn't. If you're telling me you can't answer because it's your source, well, then that the only logical conclusion is that he is, in fact, your source.
Well, you're free to conclude that.
Well, sir, I just don't understand. You can't have it both ways, but let's move on.
No, he can. He's a journalist.
No, he can't, because either Musk is the source and he can't talk about it, or Musk is not the source. And if Musk is not the source, then he can discuss.
No one has yielded. The gentlelady's out of order. You don't get to speak.
And she's out of order because he's interrupted.
The gentlelady's not recognized.
You're not recognizing my time.
He has not said that.
Somebody teach these broads in this committee some manners.
And the fact that Democrats are pressuring him to do so is such a violation.
We're asking him about his conversations with Musk.
These people have no regard for law and order. No regard for law and order. This was just earlier today because the hearing this, they're trying to get the FTC to go after him now. That's what this is, because of the Twitter files. And it's weird because I don't even think Twitter functions all that well yet. I think it's like the suppression and everything else is like the worst that it's ever been, honestly. But they're trying to get him. They're mad. They're trying to get him to squeal on people, and he's not going to do it. This is wild to watch. I'll explain. First off, welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. This is top of our first hour here this Thursday, and these are the ongoing Twitter hearings, or the Twitter files hearings, however you want to put it. The stunning thing with this, first off, the thing that gets me is I've never met Matt Taibbi in person, but we have argued before, and I explained before because he used to be on the kind of on the far left. And during the days of the Tea Party, he was one of those journalists out there who were saying, oh, the Tea Party's racist, everybody's racist, etc. And we got into a verbal knockdown, drag-out fight on Anderson Cooper's show. And it didn't go well for him. And that's how I ended up being the token conservative back in 2011, 2012, 2010, all of that with CNN. But then something happened, because I will say he wasn't ever a nasty progressive. He was just wrong. I mean, he would say things like people are racist, and that was the word. He wasn't woke. He didn't get into wokery. He didn't get into anything like that. He just said that Tea Partiers and conservatives were racist. He was one of those people that would say those kind of things, which obviously wasn't true. But then something happened, and the more libertarian side of him begin coming out. And then now he is reporting on the very government that it used to seem like he defended. Like the very party that pushed the ideology and the totalitarianism that he defended. And I think that it is pretty amazing to watch someone who really comes around full circle like that. And so I get, because it's difficult, I give, you know, I give him credit for it. That's why it's so wild to see this. Because the, so he was being questioned. The woman who interrupted was Stacey Plaskett. She was the one who they were questioning him, and another Democrat decided to interrupt and out of order decided to just talk over everybody. You have to wait for your turn. You know, it's like having the spirit stick. You got to wait till you have the spirit stick. And then they just decided, you know, to just try to take it over, and they were grilling him because he, and they were mad because he wasn't giving up any sourcing. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. They kept referring to him as what, Musk's reporters. First off, this is so stupid. They're able to get these files and they write about them, and Democrats are going, well, so they're just Musk's, you're just Musk's reporter. I thought Democrats liked the press. Where's the screams of the sanctity of the free press? Where the hell is that at? Democrats have always hated a free press. Always. They only talk about the so-called sanctity of a free press when they're not actually talking about the free press. When they are pushing back because a Republican criticizes propaganda that's presented as unobjective reporting or objective reporting, that's the only time that they ever speak out. Otherwise, they don't care about the press. For the same reason, under Obama Biden, let us not forget how that administration went after the press. I mean, they were wiretapping AP reporters, for crying out loud. Come on. They're no friends of the free press. And for Stacey Plaskett and, all, and these other Democrats, man, she did not look intelligent. She really did not look intelligent. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing to watch that line of questioning unfold. But the whole thing is here is that, and this is one of the things we're going to talk about today, is that they want to go, they really do want to go after Musk for this. And they're trying to figure out for the Twitter files, they're trying to figure out how is the best way to do this? How can we best do this? What is the best way to go after? And if they can do it by going after Tesla, if they can do it by, you know, however, that's how they're going to try. I have a piece. I think I linked this in your email prep as well. I was going to get to this part later in the show, but I just saw this Q&A or this line of questioning between Plaskett and Taibbi like right before I came out on air. So I'm scooted it up. But now they have this FTC investigation. They're looking for all of his they want all of his internal communications. They want everything. I mean, everybody, the FTC has been weaponized against so many things, whether it's, you know, the Second Amendment, all kinds of stuff. That's why you get the FTC going after advertising with regards to firearms, all this. And now the Biden administration wants to use the FTC as a weapon to go after Elon Musk. So the Wall Street Journal had this piece last night. Well, they put it out yesterday and they updated it last night, I should say. All of a sudden, now they're very curious about Elon Musk talking to people in the media. And they literally said, quote, identify all journalists, any journalists that had access to any of Twitter's communications. That doesn't have anything to do with trade. This is a Federal Trade Commission. It has nothing to do with trade. It is the Federal Trade Commission. The Federal Trade Commission wanting to talk Elon Musk about what reporters he's talking to, that is not within their purview. So they demanded that Twitter turn over all internal communications related to Musk. They want all detailed information about layoffs. They are citing concerns that staff reductions could compromise the company's ability to protect users. 12 letters sent to Twitter and its lawyers. The FTC also wants them to, quote, identify all journalists, grant access to company records, and provide information about the launch of the revamped Twitter Blue subscription service. Who the hell do they think they are? Now, they're targeting staff reductions. They say that they're trying to make sure that they're compliant with a previous consent order, that data is secure, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you might think that, oh, that sounds... So maybe they are trying to accept the whole, we want all of your discussions with any journalist And we want all information on any kind of journalist that had ever accessed anything. The reason that they're doing this is because Democrats are tag-teaming the FTC in to go and look, because the Twitter files have been exposing the extent through which Twitter was used by Democrats as a suppression tool. Democrats have weaponized Twitter, and they're trying to hide it. And they're using the FTC to run defense. That's what this is about. So the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government, they called it the weaponization of federal agencies, including the FTC. They accused them of overstepping their authority at the urging of far-left groups unhappy with Elon Musk buying the company. This has nothing to do with trade. And now you have these Democrats asking the journalist, Matt Taibbi, who was one of the people who ran some of the files for this. Now they're asking, well, we want to know all of these things. What we want to know this source. We want to know that. You don't get to know any of that. You don't get to know a single bit of it. And in the meantime, more files keep coming out. You know, these committees that they that these things that Democrats do. I mean, this the latest, and I'm pulling this up with the Twitter file release. Man, I'm telling you what. If you ever question whether or not the government was partnering with this tech company to engage in and implement censorship, all of your questions have been answered. And it's not a conspiracy theory when it's true. It's called the censorship industrial complex now. They said that any kind of true content, I'm looking at some of the emails, which might promote vaccine hesitancy. They want to suppress viral posts of individuals expressing vaccine hesitancy. Or stories of true vaccine side effects. These are emails back and forth with Twitter executives and government officials. They said that any kind of true post which could fuel hesitancy, like anything that's even accurate. They wanted to monitor all tweets that come from their oppositions. This is Google Hangouts and emails and all kinds of stuff. One of the tech execs, actually two of them, had been talking with, and Yoel Roth is one, the heads of Twitter were talking with the government. They wanted to suppress anything that came from like Trump's personal account, any kind of vaccine hesitancy. I'm looking at all, I mean, the emails are just, whew. And they held regular industry meetings apparently with the FBI and Department of Homeland Security. Even local police. Wow. Not for what you think. This is a partnership. A partnership. They would send them names, spreadsheets of hundreds of thousands of account names for review. And then they would try to delete it. And it was all for what? Disinformation. Now, we're going to talk more about this. The president's budget out today, massive tax hikes. In fact, some of the biggest we've seen. And Biden wants to jack up federal pay. He wants to give all the federal employees a pay raise. I'm going to explain that as well. In Afghanistan, the Marine testifying yesterday criticizes the Afghanistan withdrawal and says that they wanted to take out the terrorists. They saw him coming and they were told no. So we have this and a whole bunch of other stuff to get into today. And also coming up later on in the program, one of those congressmen who was lied about by the J6 committee, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, joins us at the top of our second hour. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees' 30-day Alive and Thrive Guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana. That's fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
This is a weird story. I actually went and tried to make sure that it wasn't satire, so I found it sourced a couple of different places, so it's legit. A 65-year-old man named Donald Santa Croce waited. Well, he went to the bank, and a bank in Utah, and he's accused of robbing it of $1. He said that he was going to keep robbing banks until they sent him to federal prison. The 65-year-old man, he entered a Wells Fargo bank in Salt Lake City Monday morning. He presented a note to the teller saying, please pardon me for doing this, but this is a robbery. Please give me $1. Thank you. The employees complied. They asked him to leave, but he refused. In a bizarre twist, he said that they should call police. He then sat down in the bank's lobby and waited for their arrival. As he waited, he complained about how long it was taking for police to show up. And then he told the tellers that he didn't have a gun because they're lucky he didn't have one because it was taking the police so long to get there. And after he said that, the bank manager put the employees in the back room for safety. No one was injured. He was arrested. He gave the dollar bill to the officers and said he entered the bank with the intent to rob it. And he told police if they let him out of jail, he's going to just keep robbing banks until they put him back. No one knows any idea why he wants to go to federal prison so bad. But I don't know, man, it's weird. It's very weird. Reason 5500 why I don't do cruises? Well, because you're on like a floating vessel and you can't get off it. There's water everywhere. More than 300 people are mysteriously sickened on a Texas-Mexico cruise ship. This is according to the CDC. They said 284 passengers in New York Post, 34 crew members. They all fell ill with vomiting and diarrhea aboard Princess Cruises Ruby Princess between February 26th and March 5th. So they said that it looks like a virus tore through the ship after it docked in Galveston. See, you're on a ship with all these people. You can't get away from them. That just like sounds like a nightmare to me. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store, folks. Back after this quick break. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
Good. Now, you crossed that line with the Twitter files.
No.
Elon Musk, it's my time. Please do not interrupt me. Elon Musk spoon-fed you his cherry-picked information, which you must have suspected promotes a slanted viewpoint or at the very least generates another right-wing conspiracy theory. You violated your own standard, and you appear to have benefited from it. Before the release of emails in August of last year, you had 661,000 Twitter followers. After the Twitter files, your followers doubled, and now it's three times what it was last August. I imagine your Substack readership, which is a subscription, increased significantly because of the work that you did for Elon Musk. Now, I'm not asking you to put a dollar figure on it, but it's quite obvious that you've profited from the Twitter files. You hit the jackpot on that Vegas slot machine to which you referred. That's true, isn't it?
I've also reinvested.
Is it true that you have profited since you were the recipient of the Twitter files? You've made money. Yes or no?
I think it's probably a wash, honestly.
No, you have made money that you did not have before, correct?
But I've also spent money that I didn't have before. I just hired a whole group of people to
patently
investigate.
Obvious answer, reclaiming my time. Attention is a powerful drug. Eyeballs, money, prominence, attention, all of it points to problems with accuracy and credibility. And the larger point, which is social media companies are not biased against conservatives. And if anything, they ignore.
Oh, so that's what they're going for. She doesn't think that they're biased against. Man, this is the technologically illiterate Inquisition. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. This is, first off, I'm going to tell you something. It angers me because I was just telling you, like, the first time I ever talked with Taibbi, we, like, went at each other's throats because he was on the left, I was on the right. We were arguing about the Tea Party. But I'm going to tell you something. I think that, you know, and I think time and wisdom, because it was 10 years ago, changes everybody. To suggest that Taibbi's motivation, because that's what Wasserman Schultz is doing here, she's trashing him as being a profiteering, you know, stooge of Elon Musk in this. I think to suggest that his motivation for exposing this is rooted in anything but pursuit of truth is laughable and pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. They're mad because they got caught. They got caught because of troves and troves of discussions on Google Hangouts and Slack and emails and everything else show that they were absolutely working overtime to partner with the federal government and censor people over what they claimed was disinformation. I mean, it wasn't disinformation. They were claiming that it was disinformation. Disinformation is what Democrats, that's how they define anything that challenges their narrative, anything that they disagree with. And they're trying to smear him illogically. I mean, this is ergo decido. They're trying to sit here and say that he lacks credibility because Musk lacks credibility. And so that association somehow makes Taibbi just, he has no credibility. That is a horribly illogical argument. It's horrible. You know, I honestly think, sidebar, I'm going to tell you something. Parents, if your kids ever take one kid in college or one class in college, the only course that I ever found of value was logic. I took 4 semesters of logic. It was my favorite course. I loved it. Would never major in it because it's ridiculous. But I honestly think, especially if you're a conservative, if you've got kids going into college, tell them, please find out if you have any kind. I don't care if they're going into math. I don't care if they're going to be able to identify and deconstruct these poor arguments quickly so you can move on. And I wonder just how much better everything in DC would be if people actually were able to, like this. I mean, we're basically, this hearing is a bunch of horribly constructed, illogical smears. They're not even arguments. These are people who are like, well, we don't like Elon Musk and he gave you something, so we don't like you either. That's literally all this is. They have no proof that Musk paid Taibbi or anybody else. He gave them files. They're reporters. They reported on it. Where are all the people screaming about the free press? Holy cow. All Trump had to do would say fake news and they would lose their ever loving minds. They would lose their minds. All they had to do was say, all Democrats had to do was they'd point out every single time Trump said fake news or anything like that. Democrats would say that the state of the free press is under threat. It may cease to exist. And this, now they're silent. They're silent. So they're mad doubly because the J6 footage got out. And they're mad again because of Twitter. And now they're trying to send the FTC. They're trying to send the FTC after Musk, which is still wild. But that's what they're doing. There's no logical reason for that. The government wants to shut down any kind of investigation into their, they have colluded with former executives of a tech company to censor people, to censor dissent. And now they want to bully the journalists involved. They want to use the FTC. And I bet you're not going to see a single damn thing about this on NBC or CNN or MSNBC or anything like that. These people, to them, there's no such thing as a free press. Democrats don't believe in a free press because their idea of a free press is only the press that confirms the narrative that they want to confirm. True or not, it's irrelevant. Doesn't matter if it's true. It only matters if it's what they want and is advantageous for them. So now this. It's infuriating. To that point, the J6 stuff. And I'm going to get into the Afghanistan and oh my gosh. And we got the budget. We got the budget we got to talk about today too. In the second hour, at the top of our second hour, we're going to talk to Barry Loudermilk. He was one of the lawmakers that the J6 committee lied about and said that he was bringing people in to surveil the place to do some reconnaissance before they went in and they did they had some rioters the next day. The other thing too is that I saw this. Came from yesterday. Benny Thompson, who is the former chair of the J6 committee, he literally admitted that they didn't actually watch any of the footage themselves before they started the whole show trial. He said they didn't watch any of it. We only had staff watch it. The committee was never interested in investigating anything. It was a cast. It was basically a reality show made out of people of Congress. And they cast it in order to get a pre-produced outcome. That's what they wanted to do. This is wild. I'm glad that these hearings are happening. I'm glad that we have a subcommittee on the weaponization of government. I can't even believe that we actually have to have that. You know what the subcommittee on the weaponization of government was back in the time of our founders? I don't know what they were called. It was called the Sons of Liberty. They were the individuals in colonial America who activated because of outrage over what the crown was doing to colonists. Paul Revere, very, very famous member. I mean, they were the ones that helped push back against the Stamp Act. So they got people to resign, all kinds of stuff. That was the Sons of Liberty was the House Oversight Committee then, the weaponization on government. We're gonna come back to this. We have more. I want to also get into this story. This is one of the most unbelievable. Oh, this makes me so infuriated. A Marine testifying before Congress, a sniper, lost an arm and a leg in that suicide blast. He testified that he and others were ignored when they spotted the terrorist. Oh, man. Marine sniper Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews. He told Congress that they spotted the suspect who matched the terrorist description, and he warned the leaders, he warned everyone, and they were told, do not engage, do not engage, do not engage. And then, minutes later, he was killed in the blast, or he was caught in the blast. It killed 13 American service members. This is some of his testimony. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 6.
Over the communication network, we passed that there was a potential threat and an ID attack imminent. This was as serious as it could get. I requested engagement authority while my team leader was ready on the M110 semi-automatic sniper system. The response, leadership did not have the engagement authority for us. Do not engage. I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, I don't know, end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir. He again replied, he did not know, but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware Operations had briefly halted, but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored. Our expertise was disregarded. No one was held accountable for our safety. About 1730, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor, came to get me from the tower to go help find an Afghan interpreter in the crowd. We found the interpreter and his brother, born with American passports. They told us of five family members still in the canal. I stayed there waiting for the family members standing against a 2-foot canal wall. 10 minutes passed. Then a flash and a massive wave of pressure. I'm thrown 12 feet onto the ground, but instantly knew what had happened. I opened my eyes to Marines dead or unconscious lying around me. A crowd of hundreds immediately vanished in front of me, and my body was catastrophically wounded with 100 to 150 ball bearings now in it. Almost immediately, we started taking fire from the neighborhood, and I saw how injured I was with my right arm completely shredded and unusable. I saw my lower abdomen soaked in blood. I crawled backwards roughly seven feet because I thought I was still in harm's way. My body was overwhelmed from the trauma of the blast. My abdomen had been ripped open, every inch of my exposed body, except for my face, to ball bearings and shrapnel.
I mean, there are no words for this. He said they asked for the authority. They weren't given the authority. And then they got hit with the blast. And he said no one in the Pentagon, and this is true, or the White House, has taken any kind of responsibility for this at all. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members, and they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Who gave you access to these emails? Who was the individual that gave you permission to access the emails?
Well, the attribution for my story is sources at Twitter, and that's what I'm going to refer to.
Okay. Did Mr. Musk contact you, Mr. Taibbi?
Again, the attribution for my story is sources at Twitter.
Mr. Schellenberger, did Mr. Musk contact you?
Actually... No, I was brought in by my friend Barry Weiss, and so this story, there's been a lot of misinformation.
So Mr. Weiss brought you in. Mr. Taibbi, Ms. Weiss, thank you. Mr. Taibbi, have you had conversations with Elon Musk?
I have.
Okay. Mr. Taibbi, did Mr. Musk place any conditions on the use of the...
Would the gentlelady yield for a second?
As long as my time is not used.
Are you trying to get journalists to...
No, I'm not trying to get...
Sources?
No, I'm not.
Well,
I am asking...
Like
no, well, who gave you access to these...
It does sound like it because she is. She is. Yay. It's because she is trying to do that. Welcome back to the program. That's the ongoing tech hearing that's happening right now. And you have the House Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government, the House Oversight Committee, of which Jim Jordan is chair. And this ongoing dive into... Why in the world do they think that Matt Taibbi's got to give up his sources? They're like, who are your sources? We want to know who that is. It Musk? It's Musk, isn't it? It's Elon Musk. In the meantime, they got the FTC going at Musk. They're doing everything that they can. They're pulling out all the stops to try to shut down. They're so mad over the acquisition of their tool that they use to try to alter the outcome of an election. They're so mad over it. Man, these people are shady. Shady. So coming up at the top of our next hour, Congressman Barry Loudermilk is going to be joining me. And we talked about this yesterday. This whole, it was an accusation. I wanted to say theory, but it's not a theory. You had the committee that lied to everybody about Representative Barry Loudermilk, and and this was some of the from some of the accusations from the J6 committee. They had released all this stuff. They said that they sent a letter to Loudermilk, and they never did. In fact, they released it to the press first, and they sent this out saying that, oh my gosh, Barry Loudermilk was taking people who were seen at the riot on January 6th. On January 5th, he was giving them a tour of the Capitol while they were, so that they could do reconnaissance. And they were acting like he was involved, or like it was helping to plan it or something like that, which he obviously wasn't. And then, as it turned out, the Capitol Police came back and said, yeah, there's nothing in the footage or anything that actually at all supports this. This dude that you're saying was here on the 5th was not here on the 5th. Not here on the 5th. They targeted him for a political hit job. That's what it was. They said that, well, we wrote him two letters asking him to answer questions. They never sent the letters to him, though. They sent them to the New York Times. They didn't send any letters to him. And the Capitol Police investigated, and they said, you know, no, he was not leading people in to conduct reconnaissance. So that's, you know, they made these accusations, and then they're mad because people don't trust the committee. He's going to join us coming up at the top of our next hour. We have a lot more in show, folks. A lot, a lot, a lot. We're going to also deep dive in Fisk, the president's budget proposal, Democrats' budget proposal. Stay with us. Folks, are you concerned about American K-12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arne. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Leader Scalise says that Democrats owe Congressman Loudermilk an apology for implying that he had anything to do with the planning of January 6th. Can you respond to that?
All he had to do was come and testify before the committee. We could have cleared it up.
He said that the committee already knew that the FBI cleared him prior to even testify, or even that letter going out to him asking him to testify. Is that true?
I don't know what the FBI did.
You're saying that the committee didn't know that the FBI had already cleared him before that letter was sent out to him to ask him to testify?
No. I mean, how would we know?
According to him, the committee already knew the FBI cleared him.
How would we know?
He said that the FBI told the committee.
It's not the FBI's responsibility to share a private issue with an individual.
Wasn't the committee talking to the FBI?
Not about Loudermilk.
There was a letter from Capitol Police the week that the committee released video of his tour group. There was a letter from Capitol Police that came out roughly the same time that said they did not suspect he had committed a crime.
I'm not aware of that.
Wow. Apparently they're not aware of a lot of things. I think that you kind of have to be aware of this stuff if you're, you know, you're doing a committee on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast from sea to shining sea in a market near you. You can also watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, Channel 349, DirecTV. That audio that we just played, that was pretty amazing. That's Washington Times reporter Carrie Pickett, who was talking to Mississippi Representative Benny Thompson. And Thompson was one of those who was very angry at the accusation that things were deceptively presented or deceptively edited. And we were talking to you yesterday about how, you know, one of the people who were really egregiously lied about in all of this was Representative Barry Loudermilk. I mean, the committee was making accusations as to his character and motivations, accusing him of leading a reconnaissance tour, which Capitol Police said was not in any way remotely true. That's the letter, by the way, that Pickett is asking Thompson about in that audio. And then it came out, of course, this was like a couple of hours ago. He also admitted that nobody on the committee ever watched any of the footage at all whatsoever. Seems like that's kind of important, you know, if you're going to have a committee on it. Just seems like a little, seems like you'd need to do that. Joining us right now via Skype is the gentleman in question, Congressman Barry Loudermilk from the beautiful state of Georgia. Congressman, good to have you. I kind of wanted to get your initial reaction here to that audio that you heard there.
It's shocking. First of all, let me be clear with the reporter. What I was talking about the FBI clearing was federal agents had interviewed two of the guests I had in my office in the office buildings, not in the Capitol, in the office buildings.
Separate
we were
buildings.
Always in the office buildings, period. Federal agents had already interviewed both of the people that were deposed by the January 6th committee, the ones in question, and had already cleared them before the January 6th committee deposed them. And I wasn't talking about the FBI clearing me because I was never in question with the FBI. It was federal agents had already interviewed and cleared them. And so when and also what I was telling them is I now have the facts. I have the documents that they had, which they knew before they ever made the accusation, there was nothing to it.
Yeah.
And I knew there was nothing to it from the beginning, but I was not given privy to any depositions. I wasn't given privy to the videotapes. But from talking to some of the guests that I had here, we knew there was nothing to it. Mm. And I knew there was nothing to it. But now we have the proof that they knew there was nothing to it before they made the accusation.
But they still made the accusation, and they didn't even give you the courtesy of telling you that in a letter. They just sent the letters to the press, I guess, hoping that you'd see it. And then that's how they measured that they informed you, correct?
That's right. In fact, the way we found out about that I was even in question is my wife and I are driving to the Washington, D.C.A. airport from the Capitol to take a flight home for the weekend when it pops up on her phone that like a CNN alert or something that I am now in the crosshairs of the J6 committee. I had no idea. So when we get to the airport, my family are calling and saying, look, you're all over the news. My chief of staff calls and says, look, we're going to have to shut down our district offices because of the volume of threats that we're getting. And we're going to have to close them and send everybody home. My family's getting threats. I'm getting death threats. And then I'm sitting on an airplane flying to Atlanta with my picture up on all the television screens on every headrest. MSNBC, CNN with my picture saying that I gave reconnaissance tours. This is the type of thing that when you just want to play pure politics and you just manufacture facts that don't exist, or you change things to fit a narrative, they actually have implications on individuals, their safety, their lives. This is what aggravated me more than just an attack on my character. It put my family's lives at risk.
So they're calculated, planned, knowing that it was false, because that's what some of this audio was uncovering. They knew that you had nothing to do this. They had the letter from the Capitol Police, yet they still falsely accused you, incurring death threats on your staffers in your offices in Georgia, and you had to close them.
Exactly. And the thing that really infuriated me, the two Republican members of that committee have my personal cell phone. Every member of that committee has my office phone. If they really wanted, if they had real questions about it, all they had to do was pick up the phone and call me. I would have talked to them about it, but they didn't. They sent the letter to the press. This was all setting up for a narrative. I guess they thought I wouldn't fight back on it, but they were setting up for a narrative. The media is asking me now, as leading an investigation into what really happened on January 6th. They asked me yesterday, said, so what is the end game here? I said, this is what's different between us and January 6th. I don't have an end game other than to get to the truth. I'm not trying to fit a narrative. I'm actually trying to find out what really happened. And so we can fix it so it doesn't happen again. But they had a narrative. They thought this would fit into that narrative that there were insiders in Congress that were assisting with the insurrection. And because I had a family with some friends and people they met on a trip here, and we took them through the office buildings to get lunch. Most of them had never been to Washington, D.C. before. They were thrilled. They were very polite. They were respectful. It was just what you expect by any tourist or a constituent that comes. Think about what they have been going through for the past year. They've been under attack. I refuse to give the names of who they are, but of course the committee found out the names of a couple of them and actually released one in their report.
And I'll add that that individual was never charged with anything because they weren't even in the building. They weren't even there on January
6th. They didn't even get close to the Capitol. I mean, all of them either walked from the White House where they saw the speech, and mm-hmm. some of them got hungry and decided to go to a cafe.
Yeah, one of them was eating lunch at a cafe when it all apparently happened. Right. Yeah.
And then the one that was in question, when he saw things didn't look right, he left.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even get close to the Capitol, and they knew this. They knew they were never in the Capitol. They knew they didn't get close to the Capitol. They knew that these people were innocent. They wanted to go after me. It would create a great narrative, and either they didn't care or they didn't think the impact they would be having on innocent citizens. And the idea of subpoenaing two people who were just visiting their congressman in Washington, D.C., one of them had to hire an attorney. The other one couldn't even afford it.
Gosh. So, all because of this. All because of the false accusations.
Yes.
We're talking with Congressman Barry Loudermilk. I know Congressman Steve Scalise has said you're owed an apology. Have you received one?
Absolutely not.
Do you expect one?
I do not. And, you know, whether they give an apology or not, I don't care. What I care is getting the truth out so the American people will see they can have some trust in their government. It's always good to have a healthy distrust in government. But when you see what was done by the January 6th committee, this is exactly why a record number of people in this nation distrust right. their federal government.
Right.
We need to get the truth out. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, it needs to be the truth that's presented.
And the idea that, you know, and as I've said before, you know, you don't have to support the people who broke away from peaceful demonstrations, who acted like hooligans and decided to right. riot. Those people were arrested, and nobody, I don't know any conservative or Republican that objected to that. But the idea that somehow you have to take as gospel truth everything that the January 6th committee has said, especially when we've seen them time after time, not only deceptively edit video, misrepresent it, or make false accusations, as in your case. I mean, people can't be expected to trust in a committee that is using falsified information and deceptively edited video or misleading presentations as a pretext for more control or to castigate an entire political side. Your last word on that, because then I want to switch gears because it's interesting, the hearing that's going on today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, you're exactly right. Other than falsifying information, one of the things that struck me immediately is when you see the videos that was released by the J6 committee, they're very dramatic. Well, I now have access to 44,000 hours of the videos that I didn't have access to before. And the thing that struck me when I first went to review the video, there's no audio.
Yeah, which is kind of important.
There's no audio in any of the videos. They dubbed in the audio for dramatic effect. This is how far they were going to create a Hollywood production. And that's what they did. Their report should belong in the fiction section of the library, not a documentary.
Talking with Congressman Barry Loudermilk, you mentioned earlier these, the hearings and the collusion, et cetera, that Democrats were planning with this. I see the same thing happening right now in these the oversight hearings with tech, social media, Matt Taibbi. And once again, it's Democrats who are falsely presenting a narrative and expecting these individuals to answer. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I'm going to ask you about the budget before I let you go.
Well, again, you're going to see several committees in Republican-run committees that are dedicated to getting to the truth. And this has Democrats scared to death. They're scrambling. They know that the truth is going to be uncovered. And so I would tell folks, look, a lot of people tuned in to watch the speaker's vote and the drama that was there. We need to have that many people watching right. the House Oversight Committee hearings, watching the Judiciary Committee hearings, watching the hearings that we have in the House Administration Oversight when we have hearings on this. And you will hear the truth come out. And you'll also see how the Democrats start scrambling to try to either cover up or to make excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question for you. Congressman, the budget, the president's, if you want to call it that, tax increases on the way. A lot of taxation, no reduction in all of the unessential spending that we've seen, whether we're sending hundreds of billions to Ukraine or whether we're spending money on entitlements. I know Republicans control the power of the purse in the House. Do you feel confident that you'll be able to thwart this?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And it all depends on, is the White House willing to work with us, or do they want to shut the government down over this? Look, we understand you can't turn the light switch off and fix decades of fiscal irresponsibility from Washington. We have to have a plan. That's what we're doing, is working on a plan, how we can get fiscal responsibility, a balanced budget. And quite frankly, Dana, I've run the numbers. Many have run the numbers. All we have to do is quit the increase in spending, and we can balance the budget without cutting anything in about 12 to 15 years. Now, that seems like a long time, but in, you know, the scope of history, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And so we just have to have the political will to do that. And Kevin McCarthy has shown that that's the direction we want to go. But as long as there's a Democrat in the White House, we have to be able to negotiate with them up front and say, this is what we're going to do. I think we can get it through the Senate. It all comes back to the president. But I'll also say this. We've actually had some success with this president. If you look at us rolling back the D.C. criminal law,
yes,
which he said he would not sign. And when it came down to it, he signed it. So hopefully we can put enough political pressure. And look, it still makes a difference when people pick up the phone and they call the White House.
It does. And Title 42, maybe he'll backtrack on that. I mean, we'll see. We're out of time right now. Congressman Barry Loudermilk, appreciate you. Thank you for standing up to these false narratives. And, you know, prayers up for your staff, their continued safety. And I hope that you get the apology. Even though you say that you're not expecting it, you deserve it. Thank you, Congressman.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Dana.
Of course.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So apparently 9 boxes of Biden documents were taken from his Boston office. They had not been previously publicly disclosed. Now, one of the things that Lorraine, who runs, she's a contributor over at Substack, our Chapter and Verse, and handles the discussion on the chat on YouTube. They hadn't been verified yet that they're as being classified. They're Biden's documents. They're still checking to see if they're classified. But she said this was the lawyer who was cleaning out the D.C. office and found a bunch of stuff there. So these had not been previously publicly disclosed, according to New York Post and a couple of others. They said that they had been shipped from originally the Penn Biden Center to his Boston office. And then, I mean, how many is it? He's shipping stuff all over the country. I'm going to make a note to come back to this. This is grim. The NASA warns that an asteroid the size of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, yes, is on a collision course with Earth, yes, and that it could smash into Los Angeles and D.C. Those could be the impact zones, but not until like 2046. It'll be Valentine's Day in 2046 that it's expected to hit. They said it's a small chance, but you're telling me there's still a chance. Stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Our military members and veterans deserve our best because that is what we give to America. The withdrawal, was a catastrophe, in my opinion, and there was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence. The 11 Marines, one sailor, and one soldier that were murdered that day have not been answered for.
I mean, it is heartbreaking and infuriating. His testimony, Marine Corps sniper who was testifying yesterday, Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of our second hour. And to hear this, he says, we were ignored. He said countless Afghans were killed right in front of them, right in front of them. They said, you know, within, 150 some odd yards in front of their position. And he said that we communicated these atrocities to our chain of command and our intel assets, and nothing came of it. Nothing came of it. And they knew what they saw from their training. They knew. They knew what was coming. He was one of 6 witnesses to testify in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday. widespread government failure, and as a result, carnage. And we saw our soldiers killed as a result. And he said that he was watching all of these people, and I was looking at the transcript, all of these people approaching the airport, people suffering from heat exhaustion. And they told their chain of command that the enemy had performed an IED test run on August 22nd. They knew it. They saw it and they knew it. They knew that that was an IED practice session that they saw. They reported it to their chain of command. They demanded, they said, we need to be able to take these out. Nothing came of it. Their warnings were ignored. They knew what they saw, and their warnings were ignored. And as a result, the terrorist vaporized himself and others. Now, Sergeant Vargas Andrews, 25 years old, he said that he was standing near the 2-foot canal and he saw the sudden flash. He knew what was happening. He had 44 surgeries. He lost his right arm, his left leg, a kidney. He lost part of his intestines. And they knew. They knew, and they tried to warn, and they tried to stop it, but they were not given permission to. And this also shocked me. He had said later in his testimony that he was not asked to provide his report after the blast. He said nobody wanted my report post-blast. Nobody wanted it after the explosion. He said even NCIS and the FBI didn't interview me. There's been no accountability, nothing. And the same people who were responsible for doing nothing are still there. The people who denied permission for the order to take out the terrorists when all of these Marines saw what was happening, they knew what was happening, they knew, and they were told to not do anything, to not engage, those people are still there. They did not want to report from him after. I mean, I don't think anybody will ever forget seeing the video and the images, or seeing the guy clinging to the jet as it was taking off, falling to his death. And then to lose so many service members, and it could have been prevented. It's one of the most infuriating things I think I've ever, in some time. They were ignored. They could have stopped it, and they were ignored. They watched them do a practice run, and they were ignored. I tell you something. This, plus the headlines that I keep seeing, super low, record low recruitment for military. Record low recruitment. I keep seeing these headlines. They're struggling. Can you imagine what would happen if Joe Biden stumbles us into World War III? Chuck Schumer's got a draft bill ready to rock. The Army has rebooted their slogan, Be All You Can Be. I remember that slogan. You remember it? Be all that you can be. Remember that? It's the worst recruitment crisis in decades. Do you want to know why? Because people don't want to get blown up because of bad leadership. They have nobody to blame but themselves. I tell you this, people who serve, they love America. When I wrote my second book, Flyover Nation, one of the things that I was looking at was the percentage of people who were serving, where do they come from? And, you know, it's like flyover countries that, you know, predominantly send their husbands and wives, their sons and daughters to serve. And a lot of times you'll find multiple generations of service and in these families. And people love their country and they have a sense of duty and they want to do what is right and they want to protect American interests. They've been denigrated so horribly by the far left. In the past couple of years, though, this has really taken a drop. You've seen wokery as part of the recruitment crisis. People don't want to sit here and talk about pronouns and talk about all this other stuff. The military is being treated as a social experiment, and you're shocked that we would have something like this happen in Afghanistan. We have a completely witless administration. A president who ignored all counsel. He did it his way, and it got people killed. Worst recruiting crisis in decades under this administration. So people think that running these ads are going to help. You can run as many ads as you want to. It's not going to do a damn thing. I see, when I see ads, because I've got, you know, I have young men in my house and I have a high school senior in my house. And when I get stuff now from the military, I put it in the trash. I'm not going to lie. I put it right the hell in the trash. Because our sons and daughters are not going to be disserved this way. Honestly, I think if the people who really cared about the lives of our servicemen and women were responsible for making these decisions, we wouldn't have these lives lost. But I see people in positions of government who are nothing but desk jockeys calling the shots. They have no clue, no idea. They're concerned about wokery, and they're concerned about inclusion, and they're concerned about what pronouns you're using and how people go to the bathroom and everything else except being a unified fighting force. You're not going to attract people with political correctness. You're not going to attract them with wokery. Being a part of the military is being a part of a unit. No one cares about your stupid identity, whatever. No one cares about your stupid transness. No one cares about your alphabetness. No one cares about any of that. Can you kick ass and will you? Can you complete this objective? Can you fulfill the purpose of this mission? That's all that matters. Everything else is a distraction, and distraction gets people killed. So you're not going to have, I will not in good faith encourage my kids. I won't. And I've heard too much from people who've served and who have been out. I have a friend who was in Special Forces and says it is a lot different than what it was 15 years ago. Even 10. A lot different. I don't want to be like that. And it angers me because I don't want to have that opinion. I don't want to feel that way about leadership in our fighting forces. I mean, it angers me. There's a reason why the United States and our military is sort of like this iconic, you know, butt-kicking thing. It's because we focused on being a great fighting force. One of the things in Zack Snyder's 300 that was very interesting was when they had Leonidas, when Sparta met up with some soldiers from Athens, and they were asking the Athenians, you know, what is it that you do? What is your job? And they're like, well, you know, I'm a farmer, or I'm this, or I'm that. And those are all very wonderful things. And Leonidas goes, Sparta, what is your job? And they all answered, woo, woo, woo. It was a cool scene, but there was something to read in that. If you're going in to the military and you want to maintain this other identity instead of being a singular part of a fighting force, that's going to be calamitous. It's going to be problematic. And this psychological approach to organizing and running the military has been absolutely detrimental. People have seen the results of it. It's not working. People are questioning the preparedness of our military at a time when we should not be questioning it. There's instability in Europe. The biggest threat is the instability with China. And if something were to happen, we do not have enough soldiers. If something were to happen due to the tax and spend and everything else and the suppressed R&D from all of these other companies, I don't know if we would even have the technological advancement anymore. I hate saying this, but freedom can slip away in a singular generation, and there's so many bases to watch. Doing a couple of ads is not going to undo the damage. No one gives a rat's ass about your ad. No one cares. You could get G.I. Joe himself to sit here and do this ad. You know what? You still got the wokery. You still have the same people in charge. You're not changing a damn thing. You're putting lipstick on the pig. That's what you're doing. That's not going to recruit a single person. You want to recruit people? You get rid of the people that are the problem. The people who created the fatality list in Afghanistan, those who didn't give the orders, they should be publicly humiliated and run out on a rail. I think when you make stupid choices and you cost lives, there should be real world consequences. And to demand that America's moms and dads send their sons and daughters to take part in what you've done with the military, turn it into a social experiment, that's too much to ask. Fix it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I really don't want to read this one. Let's do this one, because this other one. Please stop going to south of the border for surgeries. Let's just stop. I'm going to go ahead and do it because it's too weird. So a woman went to get plastic surgery in Colombia. And Florida woman. And I guess she was going to go have a boob job. But then she ended up losing. The nipple area. She ended up losing that. This is one. Apparently millions of Americans do this. This Florida woman went to have her body augmented. It was over at Yahoo News. And she thought she'd cut the cost of her surgery. She would get it done in a different country at a discounted rate. And she said that she went with a couple of friends. They went to a facility in Colombia. She ended up having a lift and a couple of other things. And then she said that she went against her gut because you trust the professionals. And her doctor was nowhere to be found when she woke up, and it only got worse from there. She got an infection, and she ended up having to, just stop doing that. Just stop going. Nobody needs to, you don't need it. Stop doing it. Also, let's see here. Of course, my whole thing froze. This woman was arrested for indecent exposure after she decided to get into the puddle of a parking lot and apparently take a bath in a puddle in a parking lot. I'm trying to open this story, but I'm going to throw this computer across the studio because apparently it's like not wanting to work. Florida woman was arrested for indecent exposure at a Southwest Florida library. This is craziness. She ended up, and I can't actually get it. I can't get the story because this is just not working at all. So I'm going to have to like restart this whole system. Oh. Yeah, I can't get it. I'm not able to pull it up. That's what's happening. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. She was it was a Collier County Public Library, and it was at the late last month, but it's coming out now. 43-year-old Carlene Sithlair, and she was using a puddle in the library's parking lot for her bath, totally buck naked, and Collier County Sheriff's had to be called to the scene. They instructed her to put on clothes. She did obey, but she was arrested on a charge of indecent exposure. That had to be a big puddle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking if it's big enough for you to strip down and to have a bath in it, that's probably a sizable puddle.
Might just have an alligator in it.
Yeah, no joke. Like, there's always alligators. I'm saying, that's right. Good heavens. So, all right. We have a third hour on the way. You don't want to miss it. And we'll also have some Today in Stupidity, all kinds of good stuff. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show coming up.
We're not able to keep tabs on every single person who comes in, certainly. We have all sorts of investigations into certain people who get in, and we try to work very hard on both sides of the border to prevent, to support DHS's efforts and to some extent our neighbors south of the border from preventing them from coming in.
Oh, so that's Christopher Wray, who says that, FBI director, who says that they just can't, the federal government is not able to keep tabs on people who enter the country illegally, guys. They can't. I mean, until they turn into parents who are here and here legally, and they go and speak in front of their school boards. That makes it different. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon, top of this third hour this Thursday. And I was actually pretty shocked when I saw that soundbite. This was, he spoke about this yesterday, and I thought, wait, but you can sit here and you can, you actually can have people who go and you follow people who speak in front of school boards, and that's, oh my gosh, that's pretty, but you can't do something as simple as that. That's what the United States should be doing. I put that, I think I had that like actually in your prep, I believe, if memory serves. I do believe I put that in your prep. You can go and subscribe over at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Now, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we hit, because coming up also later this hour, we're going to talk some two-way stuff. We've got a packed hour. We have Congressman Bob Good. He's got a Second Amendment bill on the that's coming up. We're going to discuss that. We also have this budget. Let's look at this budget real quick. $6.8 trillion budget. $6.8 trillion, Kane.
With a T.
$6.8 trillion budget. Taxing everybody. Everybody gets a tax. You get a tax. You get a tax. Everybody gets a tax. Oh, boy. And they want $688 billion in non-defense discretionary spending. So we're looking at a 5.5. They want to rake $5.5 trillion in tax revenues. They want that. Even though... Yes, King, you're dying right now. Yes, go ahead. Just go ahead. Go lose it. Go off.
Currently receiving into the Federal Reserve more tax money than has ever been collected ever in the history of the United States. And they want more? The hell out of here.
So would you like to hear about the tax hikes that are in the Biden budget? Because there's a lot. In fact, trillions of new tax hikes. Trillions and trillions. So you have, it's the highest personal income tax rate since 1986. Taxation's theft, too, by the way, just so you know, we all know, taxation's theft. So it's the highest personal income tax rate since 1986. And that, it calls for a combined federal tax rate about 45%. Oh my gosh. I pay my fair share and a lot of other people's fair share. I'm sure you do as well. This is going to make me mad. I'm not going to get through this segment. We're going to have to dump Congressman Good. I'm going to get mad. Do we really want to?
We got to let the people know. This is infuriating, and we need, I think, that motivational anger to get us through.
I told you all we were going to have trouble getting through today. I warned you guys yesterday. It's making me so mad my hair's falling down. I just threw it up today. I don't know what's going on up here. But I'm going to tell you this. 45% since 1986. Highest capital gains tax since before I was born. I wasn't even born the last time that we had a rate over twice as high as China's. Twice as high as China's capital gains tax rate. Twice as high. He doubles it. Doubles it to 39.6% from 20%. So we currently have a combined capital gains rate of over 29%. Americans for Tax Reform has a whole piece about the capital gains part. They get into how that's inclusive of the 3.8% for the Obamacare tax, almost 5.5% state average for cap gains rate. So under this, Biden's going to wouldn't get near 50. Oh, but if you're in California, 60. Why would anybody want to stay there? Nobody's, oh my gosh, everybody's going to be broke. We're going to have a higher corporate tax rate than communist China. A higher corporate tax rate than communist China. 31% increase from 21 to 28. That's, and when you add in the state corporate income taxes, the combined federal rate, that's, yeah. And American workers, they're going to bear the brunt. In fact, Biden keeps going, oh, no, this is for the, it's for the, we're taxing the rich. We're taxing the rich. They're not taxing the rich. The Nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation affirmed that when they were testifying before Congress that the corporate tax rate hikes would hit labor and laborers. That is an actual thing. I can play this. Can I play it? Turn me up. This was when they testified. This is this piece. This is the Joint Committee on Taxation, nonpartisan. This is what they said. This is how these tax rates are going to work.
Literature suggests that 25% of the burden of the corporate tax may be borne by labor in terms of diminished wage growth.
Again, the last
25%.
By who's going to bear this brunt of this?
Labor. Workers.
Okay.
Labor and laborers are going to bear the brunt of this. And of course, that's going to be passed on to families. So we're going to see an increase higher goods and services. There was a 2020 study. Pull this up. This is the National Bureau of Economic Research. Bear with me. Pulling this up. 31% of the corporate tax is going to fall on consumers, which we knew. But I like to add, you know, we like to have a number. So the corporate tax on top of that is going to mean lower wages, fewer jobs. Now, here's the unrealized gains. So American tax reform, I have had Grover Norquist on to talk about the unrealized gains thing. We've also talked to our friend Charles. I'm looking at all these numbers. Our friend Charles Payne, we've talked to him about this whole unrealized gains, because this is so ridiculous. So this same proposal, the last time that he was pushing a budget plan, this was in that previous proposal also. So Democrats want to push a 20% minimum tax on unrealized gains of individuals with income and assets that look at, you know, exceeding 100 million. Except you have to realize that this is also companies. People who are economically illiterate are like, oh, this is never going to hurt me. That's not how it is. Capital gains taxes, by the way, when you sell something, that's the only time that should be paid. This is like the wealth stuff that Bernie Sanders pushes. Exactly like it. You know what this is going to do? This means a lot of people are going to be moving a lot of stuff overseas. Because it's a form of retroactive taxation, isn't it? That's exactly what it is. And by the way, there's no evidence this has ever worked any other places this has ever been implemented. Now, we're also going to see 1% stock buyback. That's going to hit every single person with a 401k or IRA or union pension. Mm-hmm. And we just are coming out of one of the worst years in the stock market since 08. I mean, we ended last year down by 20%. So Biden's like, oh, you know what's going to fix that? Higher taxes. We're going to see a $31 billion tax on American energy. Wall Street Journal has a bit by bit of all the proposals, all the tax hikes, new taxes on oil and gas that add up to $31 billion in total taxes for American energy. And that's right after, this is the second time within the past 12 months that this industry has been hyper-taxed. In the Inflation Addition Act, not reduction, there was a $20 billion, when you add it all up, there was a list of about $20 billion worth of energy taxes in that bill too. So in total, we're looking at about $51 billion in new taxes combined with those two pieces of legislation. If this budget proposal passes, that's how much. So get ready to gird your loins for ridiculously high energy costs. 32% increase to Medicare taxes. Wall Street Journal, quote, if Biden again proposes raising the top marginal income tax from 39 to 37, he would be seeking a combined top federal tax rate of 44%, 44.6% higher than at any point in the 80s. If that became law, the combined marginal tax rate on top earners would exceed 50% in many states. He's got that. That plus the Medicare, this is bringing this up. This is Americans for Tax Reform and CRFP that say that 3.8 to 5% for individuals making over 400 per year, 32% tax hike. The plan is broadening the net investment income tax. So that's going to apply to business income, investment income, wages, and self-employment, all of that. That's about $200 billion added together. Oh, boy. The retirement tax. You ready for that? Yeah, they're going to, their retirement plan benefits. Yay, you're going to pay more taxes. The White House is looking at taxing, they're looking at $23 billion in taxes from individuals who have retirement account balances. Let's see. Oh, $24 billion crypto tax. $24 billion. They want to change, this is Americans for Tax Reform, the tax provision bad news for crypto. That's the piece. They're looking to change the tax treatment of this transaction by applying wash sale rules. And the way that they've defined it, quote, a wash sale occurs when an investor sells stock or securities at a loss, either 30 days before or after the sale, purchases a substantially identical stock or security, then the IRS prohibits any deduction of losses when a transaction like this occurs. He wants this applicable to crypto transactions as well. That's going to, I mean, restrict their ability to subtract any kind of loss, deduct any kind of loss. Mm-hmm. Real estate tax hike. Oh, yeah. You ready for? Yeah. Yeah. Real estate tax hike. Doubling the global minimum tax. Mm-hmm. That they're counting about $340 billion haul from that. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Now, Kane, add your point about the Fed raising the rates, because that's a good point.
Once the Fed raises the rates again, this will only get worse. The cost of money obviously goes up. The affordability by businesses goes down. So basically what's happening is that him claiming that he's never going to raise taxes on people making $400,000 or more, the fact that we're dealing with inflation with energy, the fact that the cost of money continues to go up as the Fed attempts to cool down inflation, this only leads to market crashing. This leads to market crashing. And I guarantee you by this summer, we're going to see a market crash.
Oh, man. Plan accordingly. Golly. I'm just like, how can I get more and more off-grid? Like, I've already got this, this, and this. How can I get more and more off-grid? I'm telling you, that's just, and guys, that's just like the 30,000-foot view of it. Like, I'm not even getting into the little bit by bit. I can tomorrow if you would like and let me know. But that's the 30,000-foot view. This is going to impact you. It doesn't matter. People who make, when they say people who make $400,000, no. This is going to hit people under, it's going to hit laborers hard. Whew. Man, hopefully it doesn't pass the House. So you need to be on your representatives on this. We have headlines on the way. We got a whole bunch of stuff to hit still. Gosh, this has been, I got a lot of stuff here. I may end up, all the stuff that I haven't hit today, I may put in your email that I send out in the morning.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a Russian TV producer had praised Hunter Biden for joining Burisma's board and tried to get an interview with Joe Biden. This is according to new emails revealing the White House was peppered with questions about ethics violations going back all the way, guys, to 2014, all the way to 2014. New emails from the National Archives show that the White House was tracking coverage of Hunter Biden's dismissal from the Navy Reserves over his cocaine use. So this is, since Biden has been VP, this has been a huge issue. Oh, by the way, he's also expected to go to court with his baby mama over the daughter he won't see and had to be drugged to court prior to support. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more. Congressman Bob Good's going to join us next. Stay with us.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
case. So again, Moody's has done an independent analysis of this and said that if we have a short-term debt default, that it will do two things. Short term, it will do two things. It will throw the country into a recession, and it will put about 1 million people out of work. Really serious bad stuff. But think about the other half. The Republicans are saying that their price for not throwing us into a debt default are all of these cuts. But the cuts, according to Moody's, will throw us into a recession and will cost us about 2.6 million jobs.
That is with what she's leaving out is if you don't stop spending, then you're going to get thrown into a recession. She likes to pretend that a cut in government spending, particularly as it relates to tax cuts, is somehow costly for the government. They've been collecting record revenue. We've talked about that endlessly on this show. So many people are economically illiterate. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast all around the country in every state in the union. You can also watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 349 DirecTV. Joining us now on this and other issues, Congressman Bob Good from the beautiful state of Virginia. He joins us now. They're right in the thick of arguing over all of this. The budget hit the floor today. That doesn't look good. The fight over the debt ceiling. I do not envy your position, Congressman. What is your thought to Senator Warren's remarks there?
I didn't hear her remark specifically there in my ear, but I will just tell you, this administration is fiscally, economically illiterate. Obviously, Senator Warren is as well. Think about the president's doing more than doubling down on his failed policies, but he's proposed a $6.9 trillion budget, the largest budget in the history of the country. We peaked at $6.8 trillion in spending during the worst of the first 2 years of the Biden presidency, and yet he wants to spend $6.9 trillion when we are, as you know, $32 trillion in national debt. That's about $100,000 per citizen with no end in sight, and this is the president's failed response.
We're going to have, as I understand it, a higher corporate tax rate if this proposal were to go through than communist China under Biden's proposal. That is wild to me. We were doing so well, and now it would be a 31% increase from 21 to 28, higher than communist China's 25% rate. You know what that's going to do to the American economy.
In addition to the punitive component that the Biden administration wants, they want to penalize success, as you know, penalize job creators, employers, and businesses. He has a fundamental lack of understanding that when you incentivize something, you get more of it. When you penalize something, you get less of it. And he doesn't understand what you know, which is that we have record revenues. You said it during the opening here. We've had $4.9 trillion of revenue the first time in the history of the country. We would be running a surplus if we were just spending at pre-COVID levels of about $500 billion right now. Now, the Trump tax cuts have driven record revenue into the economy, into the government. We've got to return to pro-growth policies, reversing the regulatory burden that he's been layered upon Americans, keeping taxes low, even cutting taxes beyond that, and unleashing American energy again. We cannot cut our way out of our fiscal crisis mm-hmm. without also having growth.
Yeah, one last question for you on the budget. Talking with Congressman Bob Good out of Virginia's 5th District, I was really troubled to see the tax hikes for the energy sector as well, because this is right on the heels of the Inflation Act that they passed, where it was something like $20 billion in additional taxes for the energy sector. Now it's like $30 billion in additional taxes for oil and gas when we do not. I mean, we need really refinery expansion. There's a lot of other things that we could do instead of taxing punitively this industry so as to kind of pave the way for the Chinese monopolized rare earth element, green tech. Your thoughts on that? And do you think that this is the House is going to stop it?
I guarantee Republicans will stop it. Absolutely. His willingness, as you know, to try to put the petroleum industry, reliable, affordable energy industry out of business through regulatory burdens, through denying them the ability to have access to capital, and then, of course, increasing the tax burden upon them. Meanwhile, he's using Americans' hard-earned tax dollars to subsidize unreliable, unaffordable energy. It is a hoax, the climate crisis, and it's a hoax that we can measurably impact the temperature of the earth by cutting back simply on America. America's reliable, affordable energy production. We're the cleanest large producer in the world, and it is a lie to say the American that we're not doing the best job with clean emissions and clean energy production here in the United States.
Yeah. Congressman, I was really pleased to see a tweet of yours back from February 28th. You tweeted with the alarm emoji, fittingly, quote, "I just dropped a new bill to combat unconstitutional federal overreach on the Second Amendment rights of all Americans by prohibiting the FBI and ATF from coordinating with local law enforcement to carry out no-knock raids that pose an unreasonable risk to the public." And we've talked about that, obviously, on my radio program before. I've written endlessly about it. Because most of the no-knock raids that are taking place, there's been a lot of, there have been fatalities that have been involved with this unnecessarily. Talk to me about this, because this is a very troubling aspect that we have seen pop up in law enforcement. And I'm pleased to see that we're ending, or that you're looking to fight this, rather.
What could be more scary to an American citizen than to have armed federal agents show up at their property and burst into their home with a no-knock raid? We've done that to pro-life activists like the Houck family in Pennsylvania, just because they're protesting outside of an abortion facility. We have designated parents as domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings. The weaponization of the federal government against its citizens is on no greater display than with the ATF and what they want to do with this regulatory, by regulatory decree, make criminals out of law-abiding citizens who purchase otherwise, at that time, legal handguns, as you know, reclassifying them as pistol braces. And what this bill would do is simply make it illegal for the FBI to participate with local law enforcement to conduct no-knock raids, to confiscate guns of law-abiding citizens who bought those guns legally, and now the ATF has decided by decree to make them illegal and threaten them with a $250,000 fine if they don't turn those in.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't realize, talking with Congressman Bob Good here, because especially with the pistol brace rule, you have a bureaucratic agency that is stepping around you, Congressman, and the rest of the members of the House, and creating a law out of a rule when they have no authority to do so, and there could absolutely be fatal consequences as a result. Is there potential, you think, to just do away with these no-knock raids, this type of enforcement entirely?
Well, we need to do that as a House. We need to utilize even the spending ability that we have, the power of the purse, to defeat the weaponized bureaucracy against our citizens. The ATF, to your point just a moment ago, setting aside the Second Amendment, setting aside the constitutional protection we have of this God-given right to self-defense and to possess a legal firearm, but the ATF has no authority constitutionally to make law. Of course, as you said, that's the responsibility of the legislative branch. If the Biden administration wants to make new gun law, first of all, change the Constitution. The founders made it possible but difficult by design, but you start with working through Congress. You don't start with bureaucrats just by executive decree making a law, let alone non-constitutional law, just because it's retroactively making someone a criminal who did something lawfully previously by buying that firearm, buying that pistol brace, and then, of course, it's illegal because it's unconstitutional, shall not be infringed, infringing upon our Second Amendment rights.
Are you concerned that there might be an abuse of any kind of exception? Are you allowing, as I understand it, just from what I've currently read, exceptions in the proposal? Are you worried that that might be abused?
Well, you always have to have that concern under this Department of Injustice that it could be abused, because look at the Merrick Garland administration and the regime and what they've done in other areas. So certainly so. But as you know, no-knock raids are intended for when law enforcement is concerned about the disposition or disposal of evidence before they got in, or the harm to the agents if they didn't go in quickly. They don't have the ability to notify the perpetrators or suspected perpetrators inside. But that's not what this is about when you're going to a law-abiding citizen, of course, which this is an unconstitutional law they're trying to make anyway, an illegal law they're trying to make anyway, but certainly the enforcement of that can't be in the hands of agents conducting a no-knock raid, which would put the agent at risk, obviously, as well as the homeowner at risk as well, unnecessarily and unconstitutionally.
Yeah, I it's good to see movement in this position towards this direction, because there was the story a few years ago of the man in Maryland who no-knock raid, and it was someone who was trying to carry out an ERPO order that apparently probably would have been overturned by a judge in court. But this individual, somebody bangs on your door at 4 a.m, you're going to go to that door thinking, oh my gosh, the worst is happening. Who's banging on my door at this time? It's in the middle of the night still. And subsequently, that man ended up being shot and killed. And those are the type of things that we, obviously obviously we would like to avoid. One last quick question for you. You know, you're talking about the ATF and this bureaucracy. Is there what tools do House members have at their disposal to stop agencies? Because whether it's the ATF or whether it's the CDC with the rent moratorium, surely there is a way to stop agencies that are skewing the congressional oversight from establishing these rules, demanding that they be treated as law, having everyone follow them as law, until which time they can be rolled back in a court of law, which can take months. What tools do you have to fight that and prevent that from being treated as such?
Well, you are right. There is a massive problem here. We have so far overstepped the boundaries of the Constitution, so far gotten away from what the founders intended with the separation of powers, to where we have the executive branch making law through the rulemaking capability of these agencies, these unelected bureaucrats, these departments. What we've got to do is utilize the funding, the power of the purse, to cut back these agencies. One of the things that we want to do with utilize the new spending opportunity that we have, this debt ceiling battle that we have in the budget process that'll come up later in the fall, is to rescind the $80 billion that has been spent by this administration, or allocated by this administration, appropriated for the 87,000 new IRS agents. The last thing we want to do is further weaponize the IRS against our citizens. We have to utilize that. We have to utilize it to cut back on funding for the CDC, funding for the WHO, funding for Fauci's NIAID as well. So we got to use the power of the purse to do that. That's where we can have the immediate impact, is to decide we're not going to fund the things that we campaign against. We're not going to fund the things in the federal government that we criticize, and the departments and the agencies in the Biden administration that are harming the very people who elected us to Washington to fight for them.
And for people who missed it earlier, one of the things in this budget that Biden would like to do is increase the salaries of all these federal employees at all of these agencies that we're talking about right now.
70% of which who aren't even coming to work. They're working remotely because they're afraid they're going to get COVID.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Congressman Bob Good, I appreciate what you're doing. We're going to watch and hope to see this bill progress. And thank you so much for the good fight.
Thank you, Dana. Appreciate what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
In Argentina, Alba Ruada is a transgender woman who was kicked out of classrooms, barred for sitting for exams, refused job opportunities, subjected to violence, and rejected by her family. But in the face of these challenges, she worked to end violence and discrimination against the LGBTQI+ community in Argentina.
Wow, that lady's got some nuts, I'm telling you. So,
you got some beach ball size lady nuts on you coming in all kamikaze like that.
That's right. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash here. So yesterday was so-called International...
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy,
yeah. International Women's Day, but apparently it's only for men. The White House marked the occasion. Jill Biden is as much of a doctor as that dude is a chick. She presented the International Women of Courage Award to a dude at the White House. A dude legit got up and walked up and took the award. I mean, I wrote about this. If you get the newsletter, it's that day is such a joke. This whole, isn't this Women's Month or something like that?
Yeah, National
Women. I mean, women get a week out of every month. Now you got to have like 4 weeks in a month. Jiminy Christmas. But it's, this whole thing's a joke. It's like, it's, like a catchphrase and empty virtue signaling that masquerades as like somehow genuine appreciation, except this doesn't even represent appreciation anymore. You had Jill Biden giving the woman's award to a dude who cosplays as a chick. I mean, that's a serious cosplay award. I didn't think, where are the old feminists like Gloria Steinem and all that? Like all of their life's work is now, is meaningless because you have dudes who are better women. Is that what they meant by equality of the sexes? Like you make both men and women equally male? Is that what they meant? I mean, I'm wondering. Okay, I also want to share this with you. This was actually the news report, audio soundbite 3, that had to do with a pride flag in the street in Fort Lauderdale. And I just needed to make fun of this. This is crazy. This is WSVN Channel 7.
Flag painted on an intersection. Residents around the area speaking out in disgust. 7's Danielle Garcia is live in Fort Lauderdale with more on the search for that driver. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning, Lorena. That mural right behind me was unveiled just about 20 days ago. Already it's been damaged and covered with skid marks. The community here is saddened, as you mentioned, but they are planning to redo it. In fact, the cleanup process has already begun.
The rainbow flag, they accident, like, you're telling me that the road was used?
Yeah.
No. Driving on roads is bigoted. Did you know that? You're supposed to hover above them. They're mad because they got a skid mark in on the flag that they painted on pavement. And it's literally right at an intersection, which, you know, that's when people come to stops. It's like when you have like the most fender benders and things like that. And they're shocked that they're skid. You painted it on a road, you morons. If you didn't want people to drive on it, you should have painted it on the side of a building. So anytime anything happens to this damn thing, they're going to come out there. Oh, no, somebody, there's something on the pavement. Why don't you just shut the road down and don't let anybody use it? If you're so like hard up about it. My gosh, this is just, it's this crazy. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about how cars are racist. What? I'm not making this up. That's a new thing. Yeah, for real. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it'll be Adam Schiff for brains. Adam Schiff is here talking.
Careful with that one.
I was clear. Adam Schiff said this whole January 6th and letting America see the other videos that were there that day, that's somehow a problem, and Fox needs to see financial consequences.
Aww.
Let's listen to what he says here.
On the air, American companies aren't going to advertise there anymore. Now, the only way to stop a corporation that has gone completely off the rails and is tearing the country apart is to say...
That's censorship. Censorship, lawmaker. Tomorrow's Friday, folks. I'll be with you back behind the mic. Have a great night. God bless.